Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Welcome to another episode of White Wine Question Time, Something from the Cellar, our midweek mini drop that allows us to revisit some of our finest conversations. And this week, we're just here for the lols. We're looking back at some of our favourite laugh out loud moments. And to kick us off, we've got a comedy giant, Brian Connolly, who recalls the time he put his foot in it when he invited Tom Cruise, that would be actual Tom Cruise, to join him for a foursome. That's an actual foursome. Oh, and he also reveals quite the unexpected tattoo. Enjoy.
The cult keeper, the mum and dad, we found out were big Jolson fans. So they came, and we heard that Nicole Kidman was coming with her mum and dad. So I said to my wife, I said, oh, Nicole Kidman's coming in. You know, he said, if your Tom Cruise is there, give us a ring. Anyway,
I love that she wouldn't bother to leave the ass for Nicole Kidman, but little Tom Cruise, she'll jump off a sofa for him.
I know. So I'm looking out, and then it gets back. Tom Cruise is in. So I ring Tom Cruise. Oh my God, I'm jumping in the cab. I'm going to be there. And then in the interval, I get this message: Tom and Nicole would love to see you after the show. Oh, tell them I'm busy. No. So anyway, they came back. Anyway, Anne-Marie is talking with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman on one side of the dressing room. I am with Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman's mum and dad. I want to get over there. I can't get over there. Anyway, eventually he came over, and he was very complimentary. And then he goes, that's a lovely picture of a house. And I had a house. And I went, yes, that's my house. And whenever I feel a bit down, I always go, Bright, that's what you're paying for. That's what you're paying for. I said, I've even got a pool room. Do you play pool? And I didn't know he'd done that film with Steve McQueen, didn't he, where he was a hustler?
That's right. So, what was it called? You know,
so, yeah, I can't remember.
I can't remember.
You're going to have to Google it.
Right, hold on, I'm going to Google it. Tom Cruise.
Google it.
Pool. He was a pool player, wasn't he? Mm.
Hustler. American. No,
the Colour of Money.
The Colour of Money. Yeah. So he goes, yeah, I've played a little bit. I was like, oh, right, okay. Then he said, oh, that's right, I love this one. So I said, because I don't live far from Pinewood Studios, I only live up the road. And he said, that's lovely out. I said, well, you know, I'm only up the road from Pinewood Studios, you know. Where do you stay? Because he was doing Eyes Wide Shut, doing that film with Nicole Kidman. And he said, we commute from in town. And I went, well, because that could be an hour. I mean, do you have to do that all the time? And Nicole Kidman was sitting over there, and I went, why do you have to do that? And he sort of went, you know, like this sort of...
It's her.
Like, you know, like, yeah, I know, this is Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible man, sort of going, like, you know, it's not nothing to do with me, but I'm sort of under the thumb and I've got to do it. And that was really funny. Then I said, then Anne-Marie was pregnant, and... He said, oh, I hear your wife's pregnant. Yeah, that's right, Tom. I'm not firing blanks. I didn't know that he's adopted his children.
Oh, God.
So I've now put my foot totally in it. Then I say to him, I don't know how, I say, you know, and something, I don't know how he got onto it, but I showed him.
He's never going to come to your house and play pool.
I've got a tattoo on my bum. I've got, and I've had it since I was about 23, I've got a no entry sign tattooed on my bum. I actually have.
You haven't really.
I'll show you now, Kate. There,
look. Oh my God, you have!
So,
how drunk were you when you got that?
I was about 23. I showed him that. He didn't find that funny.
He didn't.
No, yeah, I did. And then I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, was it, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind. And that was it. He left. He had the right ache, and he couldn't wait to get out of the place. So there was a man who was potentially going to be my best friend, but within about, typically me, 4 minutes, I've completely and utterly ruined the situation with Tom.
You could have been the next Simon Pegg until you got your ass out and invited him for a foursome and told him that you were basically firing no blanks, unlike his good self.
Oh, God. And did he play pool? Do you play pool?
Do you play pool?
So, yeah,
that's a bit like saying, do you do your own stunts?
I know, I know. So that was my Tom Cruise moment.
Next is one of our favourite comedians, Joe Pasquale, who went viral with this moment and trended for 2 days on Twitter when this episode dropped. Why? Well, as you're about to hear, he almost died.
Okay, I nearly died the weekend. I nearly killed myself. I don't just meet all people and nearly kill myself. I nearly died. I really did.
What?
I was that close. That close, right? Because I started the tour on Friday. I was in Epsom on Friday. And then from Epsom to Skegness. I don't know if you've ever been to Skegness, the land of the midnight sausage. You ever been there?
No.
You can get Savoy's at all time of night. It's amazing, right? Anyway, in the act, I have a great big pair of moose antlers like that, right? Great big, and they're huge things, right? And I'm going to tell you an interesting fact about that sort in a little while, about deers and what have you. But anyway, huge antlers like that, and they've got like these big prongs sticking up. And the gag is, I just put them on my head and go, I'll put too much moose on me here. That's the gag, right? Which is fair enough. And everybody laughs at it. But at the end of the act, the curtains came down and all my props are sprued all over the stage, right? And it's a bit, they bring the lights down, obviously, after the show. And I'm starting to put all my props away. And I literally trip over my moose head, right? And it was in slow motion. My moose head's on the floor, like all sticking up, right? And I was like, I'm starting to go down on like that. I'm falling on the moose head. Now, these are like this. I was going to impale myself on 8 moose points like this, right? Right in my belly. I was going to die. Seriously, Kate, I was going to die. I know I'm 62, but I am quite nimble for a bloke of my age, right? So I had one leg on the ground. The other one's hanging out there to the right-hand side somewhere, right? And I managed to push myself over, my torso went over the top of the moose heads. And as I also went, it was like Tom Cruise in the new Mission Impossible film, right? I actually twisted round onto my back as well, all in a split second. It was all in slow motion. And as I came down on the moose head, right, on his prongs, it only got me in the back of the leg, right? So I was like, oh, it really hurt, but I thought, that's okay. Anyway, I went to see my tour manager who was doing the sound for me. I went, Lee, I think I've hurt my leg. Will you have a look at it? So he went, yeah, well, what have you done? So I've just fell over and landed on my moose head. And he really laughed. And I pulled my trousers down to show him. And he went white. He nearly fainted. He went, oh, my God, you need a medic. So I went, well, what's the matter? Because you know what it's like when you hurt yourself. It don't really hurt. It hurts a little bit. And so he went, you need
a medic.
Were
you in shock?
Anyway, well, I must have been. So then his medic comes round the back and he goes, what have you done? So I hurt myself on my moose head. He went, what do you mean? So I think I don't know what I've done. Have a look. So I put my trousers down again. And he went, oh, my God, you need to go to hospital. So I went, why? He said, I can't do that. He said, you're gonna have to get it sewn up. So I said, what is it? He said, well, it's a great big hole in your leg. So I went, what do you mean a great big hole? He said, honestly, it's a big hole in your leg. So I said, how big? He went, too big for me. So anyway, so he said, you've got to go to A&E. Now, this is in Skegness at 11 o'clock at night. I said, there's no way I'm going to A&E at Skegness 11 o'clock. I'll be there for 48 hours. It'll be full of every bottled, drunk person in the world there. So he said, where have you got to go to? I said, I'm going to Grimsby tonight. He said, go to Grimsby A&E. I said, Grimsby is even worse than Skegness. I'll be there for 3 weeks. So he said, well, you've got to go. So anyway, I didn't, but he patched it up. In the morning, I was in Bridlington. So I went to an A&E in Bridlington that is only open 8 hours a day. I thought that'd be handy. So I'd go there 8 o'clock, no, 9 o'clock in the morning, and there was no one there. It was amazing. Anyway, they sewed me up, and that was it. That's the end of the story, basically. But I had to have 7 stitches. I've got a great big hole like that in the back of my leg. I actually impaled my leg. But if I'd gone straight down on my belly, I'd be
you
dead.
You almost
there.
Impaled would... yourself
yeah,
on a moose head.
On a dead moose head, as that.
Like some sort of martial artist.
Yeah, yeah, well, it would have. Yeah, but I'd been a dead martial artist. And did you know? This is true. This is right. Apparently, deers. You know when deers lose their antlers every summer at the end in the autumn, right? They grow them in the spring and then they fall off, don't they? You know about this, don't you?
Yeah.
Right. Well, why is it? Because why do you never see all these antlers on the floor then, right? And I found out. Did you know what they do? They eat them straight away.
They eat their own. Antlers.
They eat their own antlers, and that's where they get the calcium back from to grow them again the next year. Did you know that?
It's like eating their own toenails.
Don't tell me you've not done that.
No, I've not.
We haven't even started the interview
they
yet.
They eat their own antlers.
Yeah. Look at where we are. We've not even had a glass of wine yet.
Do you know, I only had Chris Packham on 2 weeks ago, and he didn't give me nuggets like that.
No, well, see, Chris is just a chancer, you see. I know what I'm talking about.
How are you, though, Joe? Like, how's the hole? How's your
the hole?
Your
yeah, it's good. It's a bit sore. It's right in the back of my leg, just below my knee. So it's difficult to sit down anywhere. You're in that position. Wherever you sit, you're going to be on it. So it's okay, though. Yeah, it's fine, thank you. But apart from that, I'm very, very good.
And you're only just starting out on this tour, Joe. I mean...
No, I know, yeah, yeah.
You might have to rethink some of your props.
Yeah, I know. I've got to put some corks on the top of my moose head.
Can you qualify what cack means, please? I'm dying to know.
Yeah, cack. Well, it's a childish name for poo, really. I actually got heckled once in Wales. It was more than a heckle. I was in Bargoed in Gwent, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this. Cack, but he didn't say cack, and he threw his crutches at me.
You can
and
say
fell
shit
over.
On this show, it's okay.
Oh, can you? Yeah, he said, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that? That's a heckle, that is.
That's a mic drop.
It is, isn't it? It really is, isn't it?
He elevated your joke and he elevated his own heckle, and he actually stole the moment.
He did completely. Actually got his crutches and run off. I didn't. If they're throwing things like that, I don't stay out there if I can help it. We haven't had a glass of wine. Look where we are.
Gee. So 40 years of cack. Is this like you looking back on your 40 years in the business? Because the blurb on the website tickled me, Joe. It says that you can expect things like this. You asking, if a nudist spilt beetroot soup in his lap, would he have a stain on his character? And why don't chicken breasts have nipples? Which is such a good question.
It really is. Why don't they? I don't understand it.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
And last but not least, we have the brilliant Tom Allen, who talks about his late dad, who was the chalk to his cheese, the oil to his water, and walks us through the most telling and poignant moments in their relationship that made it abundantly clear that whilst they loved each other deeply, they were worlds apart. I wanted to talk about how you felt you were too much for your dad, because you sadly lost your dad a couple of years back. And this book is kind of like a love letter to your dad, isn't it, really?
Well, I was writing the book and then he died. And so I thought, well, I think you have to sort of be honest with your readers and offer them something and be vulnerable for them. Otherwise, what's the point of a book, you know? So I did write about that experience of losing someone. And I think with my dad, as I say, he was a coach driver and was from a working class background and grown up in Penge.
So Penge, so for people that don't know what Penge is, describe Penge, Tom.
Oh, yeah. He'd grown up in Penge. Does sound a bit sort of like, what, he'd grown up in what? Penge is an area of southeast London, which doesn't sound very... The sound of the place name isn't very appealing in itself. At Penge, it's sort of between Annerley, which also doesn't sound very nice, and...
Crystal Palace,
yeah, exactly. But it's sort of now, I think, a bit more she-she, but back then it wasn't. And he grew up there. And he was a coach driver. And I mean, he would be like doing up our kitchen or something when I was a kid. He'd be sort of redecorating. And I'd say to him, like, Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house? So it was sort of, you know, kind of, he'd been blessed with a camp child. What can I say?
You were the chalk to his cheese, yeah. Weren't you, in so many ways? But your love was strong for one another.
I think so, you know. And I think I was very lucky. I had very loving parents, and I think I think there was a challenge that they had this kind of, as is often the case, your offspring turn out to be totally different to what you expected, and totally, they're not necessarily the same as you. And I was definitely an example of that, and would kind of be very particular about things and very kind of worried about things all the time, and very kind of, you know, like taking library books out about Noel Coward was kind of quite distant from my dad, who'd sort of grown up playing football and going to the pub, and, you know, like, it was sort of a different world. But I was just sort of, they got out of nowhere this kind of flamboyant son
with a very clipped, well-spoken accent. They don't speak like you, do they?
No, they'd be like, I don't know where we got him from. Yeah, I don't know, it must have been something in the gas and air.
Because what's your brother like?
He's very normal, really, I suppose, is the only way to describe him. He's just a normal person, and isn't somebody who buys Parisian urns online. He works in construction. He's a tiler, and you know, he just sort of gets on with his life. But so I think probably at school it was a bit like, oh, there's my brother. Yeah, but he's the one in the bow tie and the bowler hat. My brother just wanted to blend in with his mates.
Yes, I can imagine. But for your dad, did you ever sense that he struggled with who you are? Were you too much for him? Because you don't write it like that.
I think it was sometimes a surprise. I think the fact that I would be obsessed with like spending my birthday money on cutlery, or I think he just sometimes was perplexed by it. And I remember when he first took me to the pub as a later teenager, and he said, what do you want to drink, expecting me to say like half a lager or something, like a, you know, like a teenager might, and I said a gin and tonic. He went, oh no, you're too young for a gin and tonic, as though I'd walked into the pub and ordered a like pina colada with an umbrella in it, like gin and tonic was slightly too flamboyant for him. But I think that it was that sort of thing, and then my first job was working at the golf club he was a member of. And I was in charge of desserts on the Sunday lunch service. And I treated that dessert trolley like it was the trolley from Meet Me in St. Louis. You know, it was like so kind of it was very I was just sort of full of flamboyance for it, and I think that was a lot for the golf club. But they seemed to sort of like it. What I realized in my teenage years as well is, and my dad taught me this, is if the world takes you at your own valuation. So if you apologise for yourself, people will be like, oh, look at this person. They don't believe in themselves. I've got no connection with them. But if you go, look, I'm this big person. I'm this big personality. Then people will go, oh, yeah, I like him. He's different. But I like him. That's what I sort of learned from it all. But I think the dad, I think there were times when it was perplexing, and maybe that was the bit that was too much. But I really put it in the book because at one point, I remember he was giving me some breakfast. I was getting ready for school, and he gave me breakfast. And we're talking about something. He went, "Well, you can never have too much love. You can never have too much love. You can never give too much love either." He said, "You can never run out of love. It doesn't. You know, it's not like oil or something that runs out. It's you know, you can. It's infinite. You can love radio, and you can love television, and you can love your mum, and you can love your sister, and you can love your neighbours. It doesn't matter. There's plenty to go around."
So you never felt that you were unloved or misunderstood. You were quite celebrated at home, by the sounds of it.
To an extent, I think, yes. I think sometimes, though, if I'd lay the table in a very elaborate manner, my dad would be like, where are we going to put everything? What's this? Why have we got all these napkins? Yes.
Where does that come from, that love of cutlery, Tom? Because it does feature quite a lot.
Well, do you know what? Like, that DNA journey, I don't know if any of your listeners can relate, but that DNA journey uncovered the fact that on my grandfather's side, like about 200 years ago, my family were all footmen in a house in Ireland. They were all butlers and things. And I've always sort of had a feeling that I wanted to be a butler. Always liked to go to it. Always like Remains of the Day and Downton Abbey, that sort of thing. So I don't know if it's genetic, actually.
Passed down through the years.
Table settings, yeah. Yeah, it's in the family.
Because you spent your pocket money, as you say, not just on cutlery, but like, didn't you get like a set of fish knives or something? I mean, very specific cutlery.
Well, I was always obsessed with, I would see things on television. I'd be like, well, what's that? And where does that go? Why have they laid the table like that? And so I researched it by getting books out of the library. Because back then you couldn't just tap it into your phone what you wanted to know. You had to sort of go through loads and loads of books, and you might not find out about things. And then you just sort of had to keep reading, and maybe one day you'll find out. But I don't know why I was just fixated on this idea of like, there's a specific type of cutlery which is different to all the other cutlery, like different to the normal cutlery we had, but it's specifically for things like the fish course of a formal meal. And I don't know why, I've just loved the idea of that. So I've saved up my pocket money, and when my mum worked in the Army and Navy, which is a shop, not a branch of the military, I used her discount to purchase cutlery from that.
Well, you talked about how your dad responded to you and your quirks. What about your mum?
Well, I think she quite liked it. She quite liked the idea of kind of having this kind of eccentric son that she could use conversationally. Like, oh yeah, go on. Because from the age of about three, I would just start talking to old people, and I would just love pensioners as well. We'd always like go wandering over and have a full conversation. They'd be like, we don't know where he's from, and my mum would be like, oh yeah, well, you know him, he's always like, we don't know where we got him from. And I think mum liked it, really. But then sometimes she would be, if it was a bit too much of a fuss, it was making a mess around the house, she wouldn't like it. But I was getting all the cutlery out. Oh, you're not doing all that now, are you? You're not getting all that out now.
Thank you so much for joining me for another trip down to the cellar. If you'd like to hear any of these episodes in full, just search the guests by their name in the search bar. You'll find them in our extensive back catalogue. There's over 300 episodes in there. And this week, you've been treated to Brian Connolly, Joe Pasquale and Tom Allen. Oh, before I go, one more thing. Remember, you can always find us on Instagram for all the latest about the show. We're at @whitewine_questiontime. And also, please hit the follow button on Spotify. It's really, really helpful in terms of us being able to find you. I'll be back on Friday with another brand new guest. Until then, thanks so much for listening.
White Wine Question Time is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack.
It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.